step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.
Now, from the Star Reynolds Sports Desk, your 93.3 KJRFM Sports Headlines.
All right, 2 o'clock headlines brought to you by Buddies, Goodies, and Glass. It's always 420 at Buddies. Big match tomorrow. Sounders FC and... All Ollie?
Yes, you got it.
All Ollie. Not some Ollie, but all Ollie.
All of Ollie.
That's all of Ollie tomorrow. It's 9 a.m. It's the FIFA Team World Cup.
Club World Cup.
Club World Cup. We call it team in the States. They call it club over there.
Well, because they could like say World Cup, but obviously that's name's already taken, so they have to specify that it's the club.
Club World Cup. 9 o'clock is the kickoff. The winner plays Real Madrid on Wednesday morning at 9 o'clock. Arguably the most successful franchise in the history of the sport, which would be just phenomenal. If you want to watch the game, the Sounders are hosting a party at the Armory. If you want to have real fun, then you go over to the Queen Anne Beer Hall and see my man Justin, and you go ahead and get after it early on at 9 a.m. Actually, they'll be open at 8:30 over at the Queen Anne Beer Hall. Yeah. When we went there for the baseball playoff game, and the game started at like right at 1, I think, right? Yeah. Or 12:30.
It was always the afternoon.
And I well aware. The UCLA Cougs lost to USC. They'll switch the opponents and hook up tomorrow. Of course, Husky games over on the A, 9:50 a.m. Storm have signed former All-Star Kia Nurse. She's a point guard, it looks like. Maybe fills in for Sue Bird. That's some big-ass shoes to fill. If I'm anybody in the WNBA, I'm not sure if I want to do that.
You know what? I don't think in any role, anywhere, in a professional sense, you want to be the person after the person.
You never want to be the person after the person. Yeah. Especially that person wore number 10 and was like icon. That's probably not good. Seahawks.
Hey, we got to be positive about this.
Yeah, go
Storm. What an iconic role to step into.
Go Storm. Okay. Seahawks quarterback coach Dave Canales. Second interview with the Ravens. Sean Desai, their secondary coach, getting all kinds of DC consideration. Where, how are those guys gone? We'll find out with our man, Ian Rappaport, coming up at 2:30 today. I will get the latest from him. Also, Joe Mixon had misdemeanor menacing charges against him dropped. The Cincinnati running back was accused of that a couple days ago. His agent said, don't worry, nothing to see here. And you know what? I guess he was right. Or someone didn't want to press charges when it was all said and done. And I think that's good for now. Yes. Oh, I should mention the other college basketball note. Last night, Gonzaga, they knocked off Santa Clara. Who cares? Because it's Santa Clara. But bigger than that, Drew Timmy became the third player in the program's history to have 2,000 plus points in his career. Also has 400 plus rebounds. So kind of a cool little deal for Drew Timmy of Gonzaga. Courtney Vandersloot, by the way, is going to get her number retired by Gonzaga. First women's player in that program's history to have their number retired. She'll do that on February 11th. Of course, we were hoping she would be here with the Storm. Instead, she joins the super team in L.A.
Nice.
Like the it's
New York.
New York. I'm sorry, yeah. New York. Yeah, it's basically it's the WNBA's version of the Miami Heat 10 years ago. That's what it is. So I'm taking my talents to the Big Apple. Is Rob Rang ready to rock and roll? Is he standing by?
Yep, we got him.
Let's do it.
As part of our never-ending coverage of the NFL, it's time for Ian's weekly visit with Rob Rang from FoxSports.com. Brought to you by Ferrelli's Pizza on your home for the 12th man in the NFL. Sports Radio 93.3 KJR FM.
All right, with that, here we go. Big thanks to all season long. Big thanks to our good friends at Ferrelli's. You can find Ferrelli's throughout the South Sound. Great pizza, great happy hour, extended happy hours as well at Ferrelli's, and we appreciate all their support. Rob Rang joins us right now. It's Senior Bowl week, and this for Rob, who is, of course, from FoxSports.com and has been doing draft coverage with us at KJR and with me specifically for like 12, 13 years, man. I don't want to age either one of us, buddy, but it's been a while. We've been doing it for a while now. This is kind of your regular season, right? This is when things really start to crank up.
Yo, absolutely. It's like I often kind of joke with people that when the Seahawks season ends, that's when my season begins. And so, yeah, it's been a couple of weeks since we've had a chance to catch up, buddy. And there's been a lot of action, you know, from the NFL draft perspective. You know, on January 16th was the official deadline for NFL underclassmen. We had a roughly 75 players declare early this year. That's a little bit down than past years because I think you're seeing some players that say, hey, I can get paid with the NIL, so I'm going to stay in college football rather than making that jump early. But this is a good crop of talent that the Seahawks have themselves very well positioned to take full advantage of. And then at the Senior Bowl specifically, I mean, one of the big stories has been the play of the former Washington State Cougar linebacker Deion Henley. So, you know, there's been a lot of really exciting, kind of fun Seahawks Pacific Northwest kind of draft stories to be following.
I want, and I know our listeners are chomping at the bit to hear names for that, you know, number five, and maybe even we look at it like a number five slash number 10, 15 pick. You and I both know John Schneider. I mean, maybe he'll use number five. Maybe he won't. Who knows? But we'll kind of look in that and target that number five area in a second. Let's get a quick thought from you though on the two local guys, one from Washington and one from Washington State, that sound like both have had really good weeks and both in a sense I think would fit needs for Seattle. I'll come back to Henley in a second. Let me start with Jackson Kirkland on the offensive line. We saw him as a tackle for a chunk of his college career. He came back for, I don't know what it was, his eighth or ninth year this year, and was playing inside at left guard. I don't know if Seattle's going to need a guard. There's no doubt. Now, their right guard situation was awful. Damian Lewis was okay at left guard. He feels like his rookie year he was better at right guard. But let's just talk about Jackson Kirkland, whether it's Seahawks specific or just overall the kind of week he had.
Yeah, Jack Kirkland was at the East-West Shrine Bowl in Las Vegas and had a strong week of practice there, I'm told. As you said, Ian, you know, he previously had been outside that left tackle position, and he's got a frame to him that I think has always been better suited to the tackle position, but he's so quick, he's so strong, and he plays with a nastiness that he does have the ability to slide inside and play guard. He proved that this year for the Huskies, and then, as you mentioned, playing inside there at East Rose Shrine Bowl practices. Again, doing very well there, so I really like the way he played. I did not see him play in the game that, which was last night, Thursday night, for the East-West Shrine Bowl. So I'd like to see how he did play, if he played in that game. I know that when you have the strong performance throughout the week of practice that he had, then he may have offered just to sit that one out if that was what he felt necessary to do.
And really, for, you know, you've told us this for years, and we'll get to Henley in a second, whether it's East-West Shrine game or Senior Bowl, right? The practices seem to be more important maybe sometimes in the game.
Even more so this year. And I'm happy that you mentioned that, because this year the East-West Shrine Bowl and the Senior Bowl decided to kind of get a little bit cute. They used to be in different weeks. This year they have the East-West Shrine Bowl game itself, again, was played last night, Thursday. The Senior Bowl game itself will be played Saturday, tomorrow night. And so the scouts were only able, those scouts, and this is the vast majority of them that go to both, they were only able to stay there for the first couple of days of practice in Las Vegas before flying over to Mobile, Alabama to see the Senior Bowl. And so, they were only there for a couple of days of practice. Certainly, you would have maybe in a staff of 10 or 12 scouts per team, you might only have one or two who actually stayed for the East-West Shrine Bowl game last night in Las Vegas itself.
All right, let's Rob Rang joining us. Big thanks to Frehley's Pizza, foxsports.com. He is the guru of all things the NFL draft, our draft guy, and we hear Rob really throughout the year. Let's go to Washington State. Stay on Henley, the linebacker transferred in from Nevada last year. Had an outstanding season for the Cougs on the defensive side of the football, and we talked about him a handful of times this season. Sounds like he really stepped it up this week.
He has, you know, and really in hindsight, Ian, I mean, in watching more of his tape and really in putting in perspective after watching more tape from other linebackers throughout the country, Deion Henley played as well as anybody. And we knew that. I mean, he was named one of three linebackers in all the country as the best as a Butkus Award finalist. Wazzu's never had a Butkus Award finalist. So we knew that this was an extraordinary season. But this is a pretty weak year for off-ball traditional linebackers, middle linebacker types. And, you know, he's a rocked up 6'1", 230 pounds, and he certainly can run. We'd already seen that. I mean, he was, you know, when he originally was with Nevada, he was a wide receiver. This is a guy who's definitely an athlete. And then again, when you look at him in comparison to the linebackers out there, he really, stands toe-to-toe with all of them. So I think he is, he's in my top 50 overall prospects. I believe I have him about 43rd, right around there somewhere. But I think he does have a chance to sneak into that late portion of the first round. Similar in a lot of ways to the Seahawks taking Jordan Brooks a couple of years ago. And he actually projects in a very similar way in that. And again, more of like a weak side linebacker. He's at his best in space, good tackler. And again, his ability and coverage project very well to the NFL.
Well, I know a team that has a need for a stack linebacker. Cody Barton's a free agent, and Jordan Brooks is hurt. And the other guy right now is Tanner Muse, who is a converted safety. So, yeah, I know a team that that maybe he would fit in that. I don't know if he'd fit in that. I think anything that can run would fit in that defense at that second level right now. So, I'm excited to see what Henley can do. I was a little down on him for not playing in the bowl game, but if you're telling me he might be a possible day one guy, now I get it.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Yeah, I think that's exactly what played into that decision. And that is something that every NFL team now has to really kind of take into consideration more than ever before. I mean, there's some really good players, Ian, who are opting out of these bowl games. And, you know, that used to be a heck of a stain, I think, to wrap up a player's college career. I mean, I'll give you an example. If you were to ask me which of the quarterbacks, other than, say, you know, Bryce Young and C.J. Stroud, which we'll talk about so many times over the next couple of months. But the one quarterback out there, other than those two, who I think that John Schneider might be most intrigued by, I think it's got to be Anthony Richardson from Florida. Mm-hmm. But Anthony Richardson opted not to play in the bowl game. The two previous games that he played were both losses. It's going to raise all kinds of questions about, is this guy as competitive as you want the quarterback to be? But at the same time, when you watch him, he has, you know, really pedestrian type numbers, but when you watch him on tape, I mean, this is a guy who's got like some Cam Newton MVP type of upside to him. I mean, unbelievable talent. And so to me, again, that's going to be one of the real debates here. Is I think there's going to be some people out there who are going to have a little bit of a bad taste in their mouth for some of these prospects who decide to go to All-Star games or just excuse the entire process. It's 50 and entire process rather than playing, in these types of events. And NFL teams may wind up being some superstars who fall down the board because of it.
I'm curious, Rob Ryan, join us. Let's go to Richardson for a second. I am curious about him in this standpoint. It feels like when we've talked about him all fall, and we, you know, you and I talked about him on Fridays a number of times, that when we talk, and you gave us thoughts on Anthony Richardson and what you're hearing from scouts around the league and everything else, is that here is a guy that is maybe a very, very high ceiling, but also could have a very low floor. In other words, he could be a boomer bust. He's like the definition of boomer bust. But maybe as you describe him just now, he feels like a guy that would be a good pick for a team that already has a quarterback, a.k.a. like a Geno Smith. And then you kind of develop him for a couple years because he's not a plug-and-play guy and start day one, right?
Well, I don't think that you're going to be competing for a playoff spot if you're starting Anthony Richardson from day one. I think that you're going to be more like the Houston Texans than they did with Davis Mills. I mean, you're just going to see a very young deer caught in the headlights kind of look at the quarterback position if that's going to be the case. But again, I think the upside is enough. I think the Seattle is really kind of uniquely situated, assuming that they did bring back a Geno Smith and that you obviously you had your veteran quarterback, but you still would be able to maybe play a guy like Anthony Richardson every now and then, because guys like Richardson, at least in my opinion, they need to play a little bit. You know, this idea that quarterbacks learn so much from the sideline, sure, that's some of it, But a guy as gifted as this kid is, I really think that he needs more opportunities to play and just kind of iron out the wrinkles in his game. Because again, I mean, I watched so much tape with so many players at so many levels, and this guy has some of the best runs and throws of any player I've seen all season long. I mean, the flashes of brilliance are so darn bright that's why I think that you're going to see, whether BCL or somebody else, somebody's going to wind up taking this kid in the top 10 or so. And the projections for most are that he's going to be available in 20 to 30, and I don't think that's going to be the case at all.
Yeah, I guess I was going to ask you that. I mean, you're just playing such a game of, it's almost like a game of chicken, in a sense. I bring it up for that standpoint. It's, you don't want to, I just don't think Anthony Richardson's a number five guy, but then, you know, depending on what, and we'll talk more about it. I might not get it today. I might leave some meat on the bone with guys like Tyree Wilson and Lucas Van Ness and others. And, you know, we'll kind of go through the top five maybe in a week or two, because I think there's a lot of discussion there. And, you know, what happens in the top four picks before Schneider goes probably dictates a little bit what he does. Richardson, you think, like, what's the most likely scenario from what you hear, see, and understand where Richardson could go? Like, what's the range again where he would go?
I think the most likely scenario is go somewhere like with, again, Seattle all the way at number five. I think Carolina, I believe, has the ninth overall pick. I mean, they're going to be desperate for a quarterback situation, and they might, Will Levis, because he is perceived to be a little bit further along in the pro readiness department, and certainly the offense that he ran there at Kentucky is going to put him much further along in that department than Richardson at Florida. But at the same time, I still think that Richardson's upside is going to be too much. Knowing the way Scott Fitterer has evaluated players in the past as well, Fitterer, of course, being the general manager for Carolina, I really think that might be something that they'd go for. And of course, with the Panthers hiring Frank Reich, quarterback, former quarterback, of course, as their head coach again, that just, to me, is so clearly that's where they're going to be going on draft day. And then that's the thing, that there's so many teams right behind Seattle in that top 10 and that do have questions at the quarterback position. And when you have a guy with this type of upside, I think that somebody is going to wind up gambling on him, I believe, in the top 10. I think certainly, I go back several years ago, I can't remember if it was a 2005 class, I think right around there, where we saw, I believe it was Eli Manning and Philip Rivers go in the top couple of picks. And then we saw Ben Roethlisberger come off the board at number 11 overall. Ben Roethlisberger was a junior, but he was an early declaree from the MAC, from Miami of Ohio. It surprised a lot of people. You had this pompous young kid coming out early from a lower level of competition. And that's with Richardson, you're talking about a guy who's only started one season. I mean, there's a lot of people out there think he's kind of pompous for coming out early. I mean, he's got 24 touchdowns in 24 career games. I mean, that's not, 15 interceptions. Pretty pedestrian numbers. And he's coming out early. But again, the upside with Roethlisberger was so high that he went number 11 overall and obviously wound up becoming a Hall of Famer. And I think the upside of Richardson is so high. The quarterback value is so high that he still winds up being top 10 pick.
That makes sense. All right, let's end it with this week. And I think one of the stories this week, I'll just have you wrap it up with one guy, one name who is just, you know, we talk about Deion Henley shooting up the charts a little bit. Tell us about the center from Minnesota, John Michael Schmitz, I believe his name. And I know there's some other guys. Let's just focus in on him this week. I mean, God knows they needed center in Seattle over at the VMAC. There's no doubt about that. And they missed on one a couple years ago in Creed Humphrey. Tell us about this dude.
Yeah, John Michael Schmitz. He's the center, 6'4", 320-pounder for Minnesota. He's a top center on my board. He's allowed basically like one sack over his entire college career. That's really been credited to him. He's stout at the point of attack. I mean, again, 6'4", 320, so he's big, broad dude, strong, but he's also very quick and very smart. He makes all the line calls, as most centers do, but he does it at a very high level. That's one of the intelligence factors that the Seahawks kind of, often gave Austin Blythe a great deal of credit for. And so I think that that's going to be super important to them. They're going to want to have a very experienced college or a very experienced starting center if they are indeed going to go with a rookie, you know, at that position. And so to me, John Michael Schmidt makes a great deal of sense. You know, he has been starring during this week of practice at the Senior Bowl. It looks like, from what I've been able to see from the television feed, that John Schneider's been up close in personal right there at the front of the line, watching these line of scrimmage battles, as you would expect. And so I have a hard time imagining how he is not, if he wasn't a fan of Schmidt before, I think he has to be after the week that he's been enjoying there in Mobile.
You're the best, my man. You are absolutely the best. We look forward to doing this. This is like the most exciting draft year in a long time for Seahawk fans. And so we'll be leaning on you over the next couple of months. What do we got going on at FoxSports.com right now?
Well, the biggest thing is that, you know, Fox Sports is going to be leaning on me just a little bit, Ian. I'm going to be basically writing scout reports on the top 10 prospects at every single position and just going to be unveiling them on a week-by-week basis. We're going to be starting off with the quarterbacks, so be looking for that. I mean, I'm going to break down exactly who I think are the, you know, elite players at that position, but also those guys in the middle rounds, maybe even some late-round prospects. We'll see. Who is this year's Brock Purdy? Who is this year's Jalen Hurts or Russell Wilson? There are some really intriguing middle-round prospects out there, so I'm looking forward to breaking down the quarterbacks, but all the positions for FoxSports.com.
Love it, man. You're the best. We'll talk to you soon. That's Rob Rang joining us here on the Beacon Plumbing Hotline. We'll take a quick break, come back. Ian Rappaport, a little different time today. We moved him. He'll join us coming up next on 93.3 KJRFM.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Fluffy bread, fresh tortillas, classic burger buns, and so many carbs. Carb fear is real. But Hero Bread makes healthier versions of the carb-heavy favorites we love most. We're talking fewer calories, 0 to 2 grams net carbs, 0 grams of sugar, and seriously, great taste. Made from a new recipe using heart-healthy olive oil and resistant wheat starch that acts as a prebiotic fiber to promote gut health, Hero Bread products have more of the dietary fiber and protein you want without the net carbs and sugar you don't. There's something for every craving. Sliced bread loaves, buns, and tortillas, plus monthly small batch drops of indulgent favorites with no compromise. Like the 2-gram net carb Hero croissant or the 1-gram net carb Hero cheddar biscuit. Don't skip out on your favorites. Just use Hero Bread. Get 10% off your order at hero.co with code HEROPOD at checkout. That's HEROPOD at HERO.co.
As part of our never-ending coverage of the NFL, it's time for Ian's weekly visit with NFL Network's Ian Rappaport, brought to you by Zeke's Pizza, homegrown in the Northwest, on your home for the 12th man in the NFL, Sports Radio 93.3, KJR-FM.
All right, our guy Ian Rappaport joins us here on the Beacon Plumbing Hotline, and we are happy to have him on. Are you still down in beautiful Mobile, Alabama, sir?
I am not, as a matter of fact. I'm back home in New York.
Nice.
I'm here for 2 days, and I go to the Super Bowl on Sunday.
Beautiful. Well, walk us through, you know, Senior Bowl week, and you're down there, and breaking news on the Sean Payton situation, everything else, and what were the highlights of the week down there for you?
Yeah, I mean, trying to report news while still, sorry, I apologize for the noise in the background.
Get another birthday party going on, rap, or what?
No, I'm picking my son up at the
Gotcha.
You know, trying to report while standing on the field while all hell was breaking loose, that people are dying to talk to you and, you know, sources and coaches and all the. It was quite a wild run, just being honest. It was crazy. Which is, you know, one thing that happens in the coaching world is, like, you do all this reporting, but then things can happen at any moment. That's, like, the coaching stuff is so crazy. The arc is always so random. So it was a wild couple hours, but cross off two coaching hires, and I'm down with that.
I know this. I trust my guy Ian Rappaport, and along those lines, there was a lot of back and forth about who did what and who's offering who a job. Walk us through what happened with that. From what you know, what actually happened with the Sean Payton hire? And, sure. And how D'Amico Ryans was involved, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, first of all, it's interesting for me to hear D'Amico Ryans talk during his press conference about, you know, having an easy choice between the Broncos and Texans. I was wondering how he would kind of attack that, and him basically saying that it was Texans all the way, easily, was kind of what I thought, but I didn't really know it until I heard him say it, so that was fascinating to me. So the Broncos, you know, they basically started their search with Dan Quinn, Sean Payton, and Jim Harbaugh as the big three. And obviously Dan Quinn pulls out, and then it's Harbaugh and Sean Payton. And so, you know, they interviewed D'Amico Ryans. They really, really liked him. I think Greg Penner specifically was blown away by his interview. And then they're sort of like, well, we like this guy. And then while they were kind of liking him, they did a secret mission to go visit Jim Harbaugh in Ann Arbor. Didn't get him. Didn't offer, but I think the message was clear. Went back to D'Amico. He told them he was going to go to the Texans, essentially. And then they made a run at Sean Payton. At some point, went back to D'Amico. And then eventually struck a deal with the Saints and hired Sean Payton.
What's going on with our guys here in Seattle, Rap? What are you hearing as far as we'll start with Dave Canales, who's been kind of a Pete Carroll guy from day one here in the NFL, but has never been the OC here, but it sounds like he might have a chance to be an offensive coordinator.
Yeah, I mean, he's getting a second interview with the Baltimore Ravens for their offensive coordinator job. And, you know, I don't hear a lot about him, but it seems like he's done a great job. I mean, Geno Smith's emergence is really, truly impressive. So he's getting a second interview with the Ravens. I believe that is on Monday. And then Sean Desai, who interviewed in Miami, interviewed in Minnesota, now is requested by Sean Payton as their defensive coordinator. He's got a really good shot, and I think he's got a really good shot. He's very respected. I think everyone knows how much help he's been to Seattle's defense this year, just kind of working on the back end, especially with younger players who maybe not everybody's – not all younger players, but a couple of younger players not a lot of people have heard of. Really respected around the league, and I think he's got a shot to join Denver staff. He's a good change of cycle, so the fit makes sense.
What Ian Rapoport joining us. Rapsheet, what we looked at this down the Senior Bowl, and I think one of the things when you're down there, I'm sure you're kind of getting a chance to look at everything. Seattle's got four picks in the top 52, 5-20, then 37-52. Do you get any vibe, any sense of you know, what kind of movement we may see, not just with Seattle, but throughout the league in that top five, top 10 of the NFL draft this year?
Yeah, I think we're going to see plenty. I think we are going to see plenty. You know, it's really, you got Seattle with a lot of picks. You got a lot of teams who need quarterbacks. You got not a lot of actual quarterbacks out there. So I think we're going to see plenty of movement. You know, could Seattle be involved? I think they could. You know, they always seem to be right in the middle of it. Could they move back? I think they could. Could they move up? Maybe. I think it's going to be really, really wild at the beginning of the draft.
Final thing before they go, Joe Mixon, what's the status there? He was charged. Now those charges are dismissed. His agent came out right away and said they were bogus. What are we hearing about Joe Mixon?
Yeah, charges were dismissed with, you know, them reserving the right to refile them. So we'll see what happens. I mean, it sounded ugly. It didn't sound good. But then the charges were quickly dropped. And, you know, I think it's really important. And I know we've talked about this some. It's really important to reserve judgment so they truly know. I think everyone sort of made their decision when the charges were filed, and now they're not filed. And it's like, oh, what do we really know? So this process will play out. We'll figure it out. And we'll learn what Joe Mixon's status is. As far as I can tell, it has been unchanged with the NFL and with the Bengals.
Anything new on Geno Smith?
No, but, you know, them basically saying that they worked on it a little bit during the season and we'll work on it now. I mean, we've talked about how I believe he's staying. I think the franchise tag is coming. If they can work out a long-term deal or a short-term deal or some sort of deal. I'm happy for Geno. I think he's going to get paid a really nice sum. I think he deserves it. And it's not like he's old, so like this could be the answer for a couple of years now.
Give me everyone. Everyone's got an opinion, so give me your thought. You say he's going to get paid a nice sum. I'll wrap it up with this. What do you think that nice sum looks like?
I think it looks like the franchise tag. So, you know, probably 32? 31, 32 31. Million, something like that, which is, okay. You know, probably what a real starter who took his team to the playoffs should be making. Nothing crazy, but I think that makes sense for him. And, you know, it's double what he's made in his career, and I think that's pretty damn cool.
And I think that's right at that threshold of 13%, too, of, you know, like quarterbacks winning the Super Bowl and, you know, only one since, you know, Steve Young's the only guy since, what is it, 94 when the cap came into play. Has won a Super Bowl with a salary cap of 13% or more. Mahomes could break that this year. Mahomes could break that this year at 17.
Yes,
but that's that little threshold number that I think teams look at, and that might be the magic number, right? Like that keeps Seattle happy, keeps him happy, and away you go. So
I think everybody would be happy. I think there could be a win-win there, and yeah, I would say that surely makes a lot of sense, yeah.
Safe travels down to beautiful Phoenix, and enjoy the sunshine. It's going to be awful for you, just like, you know, as I look outside here in Seattle right now, it's just going to be brutal. But although I say that, when we went down the Super Bowl 49, it was rainy all week. So I don't know if you remember that down in Arizona. It rained a good chunk of the week down there. So
I do not remember that. Yeah. I tend to black out after these events happen. But I'm looking forward to going. I leave on Sunday. Should be cool.
We'll watch for you on the NFL Network. All your cover. You guys do. The great thing about the NFL Network is during Super Bowl week, you guys are just phenomenal, man. There's so much stuff going on.
Oh,
so
yeah.
We'll be watching you guys throughout the week, and then we'll check in with you at some point next week when it works out. All right?
All right, sounds good, and apologize again about the noise. Mostly my son's fault.
That is called real world stuff, my friend. Not a problem. Have a great weekend. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, take care.
There you go. That's Ian Rapoport joining us here on the Beacon Plumbing Hotline. That's how it is. I mean, sometimes you just make do, and I think everyone driving around this guy kids goes, yeah, I've been in that little chaotic situation of picking up the kids before. Ah!
And the man still makes time for us to give us the latest and greatest insight.
That's the cool thing about it. I just wanted to get a call. I know some of that stuff was hard to hear, but it's just in terms of all the chaos going on. But I did want to get him on for the and it sounds like both those guys, Canales and Desai, are both in big time situations that they may be on their way out of Seattle with promotion. So that was good to get him on for that and stuff. And yeah, I was thinking that we have in our neighborhood. Walk the dog in the morning or come back from our like old man walk in the morning. And it's like, there's two bus stops, one on each side of two different subdivisions. And there probably would be, well, one has two buses that fills up. If that tells you how many kids there are at the bus stop, it's like, we're talking 50-ish kids. And the other one's got like 20 or 30 on the other side. And it sounds like that, but it's outdoors.
All that energy, parents are like, yes, get it out outside.
All I can think of is my little third grade teacher daughter, who's just like, ah, that's her world right there. They go, Miss Furness.
Memories.
Miss Furness. Miss Furness, guess what I did this weekend? I was like, yeah, okay.
Look what I did.
Oh, that's exactly what she said. Yeah, look what I did. She said the worst 2 days of the year are the day before and the day after Halloween. Because, Mr. Furness, we're going to Halloween do it. Then the next day, oh, God, let's get it. You know, like, just like a million miles an hour. Like, just
excitement for the sugar and then the sugar after.
Yes, parents just like, go ahead and have a bunch of sugar and we'll send you to school. Mr. Furness can deal with you. All right, we'll take a break, come back. Richard L. Fain filling in for the soft one. He'll join us for a little crosstalk to wrap up the week. Coming up next. We did the math real quick on Wrapped numbers. So if he thinks that the Geno Smith contract average per year didn't get into length, but if it's somewhere around 31 or 32 million based on this year's salary cap, he said basically roughly what the franchise tag would be. That would be 32.8. This year's salary cap, it would actually be come out to 14% of the salary cap. And we all know Dick Fain.
Yes, it's over 12.3.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
You want some really scary numbers?
Give it to me.
All right, let's say Geno goes, you know, $30 million cap in 24. Okay, whatever he is next year. But let's say he's about a $30 million cap in 24. Okay. Let's say he goes 3 years, $90 million, or 2 years, $60 million. He's got about $30 million cap in 24. Okay. The cap hits of Geno, DK, Jamal, and Tyler Lockett in 2024, $102 million. That is 43% of a $240 million cap. I'm jacking it up another $12 million for 2024. That would be 43% of the cap you are paying four players.
Four players, including your quarterback, your two top receivers.
No linemen.
Yeah.
Like no left tackle, no corner.
But that's good, though, because keep in mind, your two tackles, you're
not making anything.
And the left tackle, you don't have to pay him for 5 years.
Right.
As a first round pick. And the other guy, you don't have to pay for three more years after that. Your concern with Wolin would be 4 years away. I'm just thinking of guys that you're going to have that you'd have to pay at some point. Wolin, you're going to have to pay, but he would be still a couple years away. Brooks coming off knee surgery, you're not really sure there. His contract's up after. He's a first round pick though, so he's got two more, you can actually just exercise the option. Yeah. Thanks for coming. That wouldn't be that bad. I mean,
for four guys, maybe you're right. I haven't looked at the other teams.
I think just based on what now, Diggs. Did you include Diggs in that?
No.
What's his contract?
Let's see.
Diggs is pretty high. You're paying your two safeties $16 million combined next year.
I'm gonna look Diggs up for 20 because I was looking at 24.
Yeah, because Diggs is making some money.
Diggs in 24 is a $15 million hit, $4.1 million dead cap. So if you wanted to get out of Quandre after this year, which if he continues, I mean, he wasn't as good this year as he was last year.
I was really surprised that he was a Pro Bowler, to be honest with you. But I think what happened with him is it took him about 2/3 of the year to get back to where he was.
Yeah.
But even then, it looked like there were times when he made business decisions.
PBINO, man, Pro Bowler name only.
Yeah, I look at him kind of like, remember after the year after Tyler broke his leg the first time?
Yeah.
That next year wasn't who he is.
That's right. So now, you know, but he's going to be 30 this year.
Yeah.
Well, so it might not be ever who he is anymore.
The numbers to look at for next year, Gabe Jackson, in terms of like, you know, cutting, restructuring, and all that.
Right?
Yeah, Gabe Jackson, Shelby Harris.
I'd like to keep
maybe
him.
Quentin Jefferson. See, Quentin and Shelby would be guys that would be ripe for a restructure.
Yeah. I like Shelby.
Gabe Jackson, done. Thanks for coming. Mm-hmm. I'm just trying to think of guys that they can get out of and out from under. But
it's not like they're in bad shape. I just saw those four, and it's like just the amount you're paying your wide receivers is just.
Well, what's bad about it is that you're playing two of them, and you really do need three.
Yeah.
You got to get a rookie in there that can play. Like, you got to get a rookie.
Eskridge, man. He's the answer.
Yeah. Every time I watch Creed Humphrey bury somebody.
Oh, I know.
I'm like, God, really?
And it's not like anybody ever talked about Creed Humphrey before the draft. I mean, he was like the chicest name on KJR for 3 months before the draft. Get this guy. And the Seahawks are like, no, we're going to get a 120-pound wide receiver.
Yeah, I'm not sure if we went a week without Rob Rang bringing him up. and unsolicited. Hey, we're talking about linebackers today. Yeah, but hey, Creed Humphrey. I was like, no, and it was true. But listen, I don't want to kill those guys because they're coming off
a great job.
A phenomenal draft this year. They got to find a third receiver. The ones I always wonder about could you bring that stuff up? Well, look at Cincinnati. They're about a year away from all those receivers, right?
Oh, T. Higgins.
Boyd. I mean, then they went out and got a top-end tight end. Mm-hmm. They got Mixon. And, oh, by the way, the Burrow cash call's coming, too.
That's right.
What's that movie, Cash Call? What is it called? There's a movie where they call them all in the middle of the night. The cash call's coming.
The cash call's coming.
Yeah.
I saw today that Buffalo, big headline. Bills might not be able to re-sign Jordan Poyer. Oh, imagine what happens when your quarterback goes from 16 to 40 against the cap.
I know.
You don't get to re-sign your all-pro safety.
It's Kansas City. I don't know how they're doing it.
Well, Mahomes did something different. Now, he didn't do a Tom Brady, I'm just going to flat take less.
He's at 17% of the cap this year.
Yes, but he spread it out over, 10 years?
Yeah.
And so it's a hit for a couple years, but it really doesn't get terrible. It's like the worst over the next couple years, and then it starts to come down.
Think about the stars, though, for Kansas City. You've got Mahomes, Kelsey, Jones. We know Frank's contract's pretty damn big. Now, you know where they're actually all right is their secondary is all rookies.
Yeah.
I mean, literally, they're all.
It's my guy.
They're all.
Team McDuffie, baby.
And you know who the better one is. It's the guy with the seventh round pick.
Obviously.
With three interceptions. But they're all. They start.
Quiet, you guys.
They start four rookies in the secondary. I mean, so they're golden and they're good. Like that's
yeah. Oh yeah, no, like, they're good. They're good. I'm wondering where he's going to throw in the Super Bowl. I mean, I'm a Chiefs guy. I think the Chiefs will win so long as Patrick Mahomes has more than just Travis Kelce to throw to, but he might not have more than just Travis Kelce to throw to, so I might have to reconsider over the next few days.
Well, I guess you've got 2 weeks for guys to get healthy
and
you know, sit in oxygen chambers and do all the magic, you know, all the little, you know, magic potions that we do in the National Football League and guys come back. I'm curious next week. I still don't 100% buy Philadelphia, and for this reason.
I don't either.
Jalen Hurts, I know, sore shoulder or not, he can't throw a deep ball.
I am totally with you.
Like, it is check down Charlie guy and running the football. And the other thing, just get me to the damn Super Bowl. I hate the Pro Bowl with a passion. I'm not a fan of the NHL All-Star game, especially when Seattle doesn't have a representative. So, like, just get me through this weekend. Hopefully my guy makes the cut in the PGA in the Pro-Am down there. Got Sheamus. Well, and then I got something to watch this weekend. Otherwise, I'm done.
Well, it's a perfect week.
Otherwise, it's Netflix.
Yeah.
It's a 2020 perfect all over week again.
Tiger King replay.
There you go. Yeah.
Hey, thank God for that.
Carol Baskin's husband is alive.
Is he?
Yeah.
He's not.
Yeah, I came out in the news. Week and a half ago.
Okay.
Just saying, okay, we don't need to relive that.
I'm going to put down the tabloids.
Review. Yeah, it's a great weekend for me to have like two basketball games on Saturday and two on Sunday. I'm just going to be coaching all weekend and not going to be watching a lot of sports.
I never had that weekend when there was nothing going on, like where it's like, oh, this is a great weekend for youth sports. Every time there's like a big week, youth sports weekend, it felt like, oh, this little thing called the Super Bowl today.
Yeah. They scheduled all of our basketball games on Super Bowl Sunday. We play in the last ones at 1 o'clock. They didn't schedule anything after 1 o'clock.
That's perfect.
That's perfect.
That's the way it should be.
Very nice.
All right, what do you got coming up today?
We've got Hugh Breedlove Miller. We're going to spend the entire 3 o'clock hour breaking down the coaching of the Seahawks. Shane Waldron, is he great? Is he good? Is he just a guy? What does Hugh see? We'll do the same for Clint Hurt and kind of compare him vis-a-vis over what we saw with Ken Norton over the last few years and whether the change to the 3-4 worked and all that good stuff. We'll have a Super Bowl conversation at 5 o'clock. We got fun with audio. We got Donald Watts talking about my magical college basketball team. Let me tell you, you want to go see some good college basketball.
You're talking about Seattle U?
Yeah.
Or Gonzaga. Because it ain't the team I watched last night.
Oh, my God. You watched it last night?
I had to. I was working last night.
I was listening. See, I enjoy listening to devs. I was driving to practice. I enjoy listening to my guys, Tony and Jay Ham.
Sure.
And you can just tell in their voices. I mean, I feel bad for them. It is just...
Well, when you cut the lead down inside of 10 and then you miss four straight front ends of one-on-ones, and you're supposedly the best free throw shooting team in the conference, that's bad. At least you had more than 7 scholarship players available.
That's true. Is that what you guys had? 7 scholarship 7. Players?
Yeah.
Well, did you have more than 12 points 12 minutes into the game?
Well, Muhammad Gay had 20 in the first half.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, I guess so.
I like him.
Yeah, he's a pretty good player. All right. Ask you one thing for me. In all seriousness,
yes.
Dave Canales, Sean Desai. Rap feels like both those guys. He told us just a few minutes ago he thinks both those guys are probably going to get bigger jobs.
Okay.
I'd be curious, especially on the Canales side, what Hugh has to say.
Well, we already
know. Talking about assistant coaches.
We all know what Hugh thinks about the wide receiver coach, so we'll see what he thinks about the quarterback.
See ya.
See ya.
For the mild-mannered and marginally objectionable Ian Furness, this is Pat O'Day saying so long, everyone.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.